was added to clarify some issues that Judge Hargraves raised in an earlier hearing about what happens with the defendant who steals $100 from a major law firm that has 55 partners. If you've stolen from 55 victims and therefore committed 55 thefts. That language was there to answer that particular question. Mr. Gary already mentioned the addition of that language regarding a sufficient pause in the defendant's criminal conduct to afford an opportunity to reconsider that conduct. Once again, to answer Judge Hargrave's concerns. During the process of dealing with this bill, we, at the committee's suggestion, have met on several occasions with members of the committee and with members of the defense bar to work out, particularly in the consecutive sentencing area, what I think were, at least in general concept, acceptable approach to deal rationally with a consecutive sentence situation. And I would hope that there is enough agreement in that regard that the committee could dispose of that issue fairly quickly. In terms of the anti-merger situation, the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association has submitted, and I just received a copy of it today, their own anti-merger bill, which I believe is an attempt to codify the present law on merger. It would not do that, however. It would work, in my estimation, a gross injustice, looking particularly at Section 2, Subsection 1 of their proposed amendment. When a defendant in the course of a single criminal incident violates more than one criminal statute, only one conviction may be entered and one sentence imposed. The defendant who burglarizes, rapes, robs, and pillages the same victim repeatedly in the same criminal episode, we're talking about obtaining but a single conviction and a single sentence for that defendant. Once the defendant starts, there is no incentive to discontinue that conduct. That particular section goes even further than the offensive principle of the Garcia case, in which the victim was raped and sodomized multiple times over a period of time. So from the district attorney's viewpoint, it is not the criminal offense lawyer's proposal is inadequate because it is an attempted codification of the present law, but unreasonable in the sense that it deprives the sentencing court of even some of the flexibility that it now has in dealing with the single episode, multiple offender situation. One other thing that I wanted to mention, the District Attorney's Association echoes Judge Bonebrake's concerns regarding Section 8 on the mandatory minimum situation. That would affect a substantial change, and I think an unnecessary change at the present time, in the amount of authority the judge would have in the mandatory minimum situation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Which amendments were you referring to? Are those from the defense lawyer? Come on up, David. We'll take that and then we're going to conclude. Everyone else can come back. I'd like to stop.
We're running out of gas.
Chairman, if I could mention one other thing. I said that my amendments were all technical, and that's true with one exception, and that has to do with page 25 regarding appeal of the parole board's decision on set dates and overriding mandatory minimums or consecutive sentences. I would like to suggest that the committee consider an amendment there that would make the appeal rights reciprocal so that the state would have the right to appeal from a parole board decision overriding consecutive sentences for minimum sentences. The reason that I suggest that you consider it is that would make it possible to provide both sides of the issue to the court in appropriate cases, and I think would aid in law development. United States versus DeFrancesco indicates that there's no problem with that from a jeopardy standpoint, a constitutional standpoint, and I don't think that the fiscal impact of that would be appreciable, because my intention would be to handle those appeals in the same way that we handle states' appeals under 138.060, that is to exercise discretion in taking the appeals, so that I would propose to handle my authority as Solicitor General to appeal cases under that section within the budget limitations that have been provided. I just call that.
Is that among your proposed amendments?
It will be.
Okay. We'll take it with an opportunity for further comment at a work session. If you could get them ready
by Tuesday,
form and style for us. Okay, let's go over your
I guess. My name is David Groom with the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. I was kind of hoping to get to this on Tuesday because I'm sort of out of gas too. But
would you rather come back Tuesday?
That might be a better idea, yeah.
You just won 100 points. I move to adopt the amendment. That would be the same. Today is Liz Zuckerman's birthday.
Even though
she hasn't done a lick of honest work since we started the center, we have a birthday cake for her, and if any of you can stay 5 minutes and enjoy us, I think there'll be enough and some extra napkins to go around. So we hope you'll enjoy this. We will resume on this bill 2:15 on Tuesday of next week.
Mr. Chairman,
thank you all for your patience.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Smith.
I have an extremely important announcement that I sent you a note about.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I had to testify in front of our counterparts over in Senate Judiciary a few moments ago, and I was directed by the chairman of the Senate Judiciary to tell my colleagues that he directed me to bring back a copy of their agenda for this week. Yesterday and today, they have taken up 15 bills with four-digit numbers on them, and they are all ours. And he says that he thinks we will be here long enough that he will get a vast majority of our bills worked on. And he made a large point of making sure that we took some heat off of him.
Well, I haven't been...
Apparently he's been reading editorial.
Yeah.